Say it louder. Come as you are. Come just the way you are. And so our topic is delegated authority for heaven. Delegated what? And it's important that as we teach these things that you do listen, please. Because the scripture, when we say that the word of God has no iota of change, it means it's so strict that if you don't follow it, it won't work. There's no shadow of changing in the word of God. You have to know it and follow it exactly the way it prescribes things for you. Amen? So when you listen and go through scriptures, it will help you to be able to have a proper understanding so that when you're applying these things to your life, they are life principles that God has prescribed for the church. So delegated authority for heaven. We said that the name of Jesus has authority in heaven, have authority on earth, and have authority, what else? Under the earth. Philippians 2:8. And being found in fashion as a man, I'm reading King James Version, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also had highly exalted him. God has highly, what? Exalted him, not them, him, and given him a name which is above every name, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, not at the name of a man, not at the name of a man of God. You say he has anointed. That's nonsense. There's no human being there. Not at the name of your church, not at the name of anything else. Is him, Jesus. Is him. Is who? Him. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. So God has exalted the name of Jesus. And God is saying is that there is no other name that God honors like the name of Jesus. There is no other name that God honors like the name of Jesus. He has exalted it above every other name. There is no other name that competes with Jesus when it comes to God honoring a name. And that's the name that God has given to the church to use to continue the work of the kingdom that Jesus started. You know, when Peter healed the man at the gate of God Beautiful, Peter understood this. My prayer is that you too should understand that. Because God has not raised the name of a man. Let me repeat that. God has not raised the name of any human being. God has not exalted any human being. God has exalted him, and only him. And who is that person? Jesus Christ. When we run around looking for men, human beings, we don't understand the scripture. And then we look up at men as if they are God. As if they are our helper. I shall look up unto the hills. Well, here cometh my help. My help cometh from a man. No, my help cometh from the Lord. Amen. And so Peter knew that this was not Peter. And he understood what happened here. And in Acts 3:12, we read it again because it bears that it's good that we read it again. In Acts 3:12, Peter saw his opportunity. I'm reading New Living Translation now. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd, people of Israel. He said, what is so surprising about this? Why are you surprised about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power and godliness while looking at us? 13. For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. He exalted him. And here, he's exalting Jesus. Here he is honoring who? Jesus. And Peter said, no, it's not us. We're not the ones exalted. It's not our name. It's not something we did by what we achieved. No, it is God glorifying his son, Jesus. Church, please get this into your head. That will solidify your faith in Christ anytime. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead, he said to us, all powers in heaven and earth has been given to me. He has. When God gave dominion to Adam, Adam lost it to Satan by merely obeying Satan. Because the scripture says, to whom you obey, you become his what? Slave. And that scripture is real. So when Adam obeyed the devil, he legally surrendered that dominion to Satan. And Satan said to Jesus, you see, all this power has been given to me. Who else gave it to him? Adam. So when Jesus came, a man that has not obeyed the devil. Remember, he came as the seed of a woman. So a man who has not obeyed the devil, and remember, that the earth that God gave to the children of men, not to the devil. So when Jesus came, a man who has not obeyed the devil had issue. Jesus went after him and said, well, the authority was given to men, so you give it back to them. But it was legally given to him. Praise the Lord. It was legally. And so Jesus had to legally take it back from him. So on the cross, we read that on the cross, Jesus defeated him and took the authority back from him. He said, he that had the power of death, he said on the cross, Jesus destroyed him and took it back from him. And the authority now belongs to Jesus and it's not our own. Because if he gave it back to me in 24 hours, the devil will take it back from him. So he said, well, it's been given to me. Why? Because the devil can reach it. He's secure. The second Adam, the man Christ Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. The second Adam took it. If he wasn't a man, he wouldn't be able to take it. But because he was a man, he was able to take it from him. And then he handed it over to men to use in his name. In his name. In his what? His name. So if your company sends you somewhere with their card, you are using the authority, but it's not your authority. You can only use it. And if, when you flip out that card, they say, oh, you are from Orange Four Square Church. I don't have the authority of Four Square, it's not mine. I was only given the license to operate as a pastor in Four Square. If I go to Assemblies of God, I don't have that authority. So, but when I operate here with the authority of Four Square, it's not my authority. It is delegated authority. Because somebody signed that license. I said, yeah, the board of Four Square, they said, we give you, like the same thing with all our pastors. We give you license to do ecclesiastical duties. That's why I can wade you. So Jesus delegated that authority to us to use to do his work. But he told us that this authority has power on earth, under the earth and in heaven. But it is exercised through his name. But you know it won't work, just like every other word of God will not work, unless it is done in faith. Unless it is done what? In faith. And faith calls things done. Faith is not hope. Hope is futuristic. The Bible says, what you have, why do you hope for it? Okay, we are here. I hope you are here, right? Can you hope to be here? You are here. Faith is a substance. If it doesn't exist, why is it a what? A substance. Faith is an evidence. You can't go to court, like I was sharing with one, my dear brother, I love my brother, we were sharing. Very wonderful time we had together on the phone. So you can't go to court now. I can't take Ifeanyi to court. And he is, Brother Zendoku is the judge. Let's make him judge this night. So you are the judge. So I brought my brother before you. And I want you to put him in jail for what he will do tomorrow. Right? No, because I want you to put him in jail on hope. Tomorrow, he's going to do this. He's going to please. Now, put him what? Who does that? Nobody. So hope will not get God's response. He will respond. But if I take him and say, he has done sin so, so, so already, say, why is the evidence? This is what he did, this is what he did, this is what he did. I can show evidence. Faith is evidence that something has already happened. That's why the Bible says he calls those things that are not as if they were. So you have to use the word of God by faith. You call the name of Jesus knowing that authority has already been vested in it. Not going to. And then you call the name of Jesus knowing that you are not going to increase the authority by yelling or shouting or, you know, nothing will increase that authority. In him is the fullness of Godhead bodily. Are you following my point? Huh? So there's not, if you start trying to do something to make the thing work, you don't have faith in it at all. Because if you have faith in it, you will use it the way it is. It's not going to increase, it's going to work because you shouted or yelled or you jumped up or you were 10 people that called it or 20 people. Number makes no difference whatsoever. Because the authority has already been vested in it. It's not going to be vested in it. So any single person that believes that this thing already has authority and pronounces that name, knowing that it has authority and believes it, it will work for him. Am I clear on this? You don't, it's not going to work because you fasted. Because already it's been vested on it. It's not going to happen because you fasted. It's already there. He says all powers in heaven has been what? So my fasting will make, it's already, he already has it. There's nothing I do that will say, let me do this so that he will. No. It's already done. That name has it already. Can you tell somebody has it already? So what am I trying to do to make it? That's ignorance. Total ignorance. I just got my wife said, I blended vegetable for you. She already did it. So supposing I start jumping up and down. No, there's nothing I will do. The vegetable is already there. It's already there. So all I needed to do was close my eyes, close my nose. Because I'm her only person. My wife, the son said, Mommy, you have a Habahu, because he blends vegetables. That's the security. I said, I'm not the only patient. She has. I said, I'm your patient out of sympathy because you don't have any other patient. So she blends it and tell me what I would do to make it happen. It has already happened. What are you going to do? I'm asking a simple question to make that name have the authority. It already has it. And all you need to do is to use it. Believe it and use it. That's all. Are you following me? But the devil can deceive you and say, no, you know what? You need to do this for it to work. No, forget it. It already has a job. There's nothing you need to make it work. It's already there. All you need to do is to believe what the Bible says about it and use it. Then it will work for you. So Peter explained this in Acts 3:16. Through faith in his name. Through faith in his name. Through faith in the name of Jesus. Through faith in the name of Jesus. Through faith in the name of Jesus. Everybody say that with me. This man was healed. And you know how crippled he was. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before you. That's what happened. We believe this name. It has authority on earth. It will heal. And we say, rise in Jesus' name. That's what happened. That's exactly what happened. If you read Acts 4:8, you see Peter repeating the same thing. That let me clearly state to all of you here, to all the people of Israel, that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the man you crucified. But God responded, this simple. So as we look today at the authority that the name of Jesus has in heaven, let us know that it already has that authority. There's nothing you are going to do to increase it. It's already like that. Amen? I said amen. Amen. Jesus Christ is God's only approved access link to him. Yesterday at the prayer meeting, I told them, I said, don't use expired what? Debit card. I said, Christians use expired debit card with God and not his word. Expired debit card. You know what debit card is? Ah, you don't know what debit card is? Okay, credit card, the one you have. Expired debit card that is already expired. If you use it, you will draw nothing. I said, people who want to go to God using the law of Moses are using expired debit card. And when they swipe it, heaven said, disapprove. Because God has set aside that system and set up a new one. The new debit card you have is Jesus. You swipe it, you collect your things, and go. Praise the Lord. Once you swipe it, what you see on your computer is approved. They say, yeah, that's what I have. I need this. And heaven says, that's okay. Praise the Lord. So Jesus is the only approved access link and route to God. There is no other. There is nothing you would do to substitute Jesus. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Understand that. And this is why a lot of prayers don't work. Because the devil will fight the Christian on this issue. Because we don't understand how important it is and how strict it is. So we think we can tweak it. You know, he'll come and want to convince you that you haven't done enough for this. And he makes you do this and do this and do this. And you think, yeah, those things I need to do, those are addendum, and they will nullify your prayer. Because the word of God has no iota of change. Once you start changing it and adding things, it won't work. It just won't work at all. I'm telling you, it's so simple. Paul said, wow, the simplicity of this thing, I'm afraid of, that because it's this simple, that the devil will deceive you. Not to accept how simple it is. Did you see the English I spoke? I said, how simple are they? And I caught myself. I said, how simple it is. Can we agree, please, that Jesus is the only link to God? Okay. John 15:16. Now he's talking about prayer here. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. You see, when Jesus talks about fruit here, the fruit means a couple of things, but it also means answer to prayer, because he knows that if the church is not effective in prayer, the church cannot do the work of God. If the church is not effective in prayer, the church will not be able to do the work of God well. So he says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that when you have colon, is that colon? So is that semicolon there? The one that two dots? Colon. When you have colon between two sentences, it means what I'm saying here is linked to this. So when Jesus is talking about here is the fruit of prayer, so that your prayers will be answered. Because if the church is ineffective in prayer, the church cannot do the work of God effectively. If you are ineffective in prayer, your life will not reflect the glory of God fully. I don't say you don't pray. What I'm saying is being effective. That is getting results. Somebody was telling me yesterday that he knows a man that lives in his house. That the man prays, he said he can pray up a storm. He said when the man starts praying, you would think that God is coming up. But in the night, he goes to Freemason where they talk with spirit. He said, I've had those spirits talk. He said, I hear them. He said, I've had them. He said, Pastor, when you want us here, people think you're joking. They think you are saying this thing for sense. No, I'm not saying for sense because I know that all this prayers, you don't know where the power is coming from. He said, Pastor, with my own ears, I will hear those spirits conversing with him. But when he said he goes to church, he said, when he prays like this, he said, I'm telling you, you will think that, wow. I said, yeah. I said, that's why I keep warning you people. Chucketing all over the place. One day you will jump what you didn't plan for. Be jumping around. So Jesus is talking about fruitfulness in prayer. Fruitfulness in prayer. So you bear much fruit of prayer. Because the work he did was vested a lot in his conversation with his father. He would talk with the father. So if the church is not fruitful in prayer, if you as a Christian, your prayer is not effective. I was listening to one man yesterday, you know, my mentor, he's dead and gone. So I was listening to him. He said, when we were growing up, the church was, their prayer was so effective. He said, over the years, the church is ineffective in prayer. The reason is ignorance. Because a lot has come, people have come into the church with background of, all manner of backgrounds, you know, from where we came from. People came from all manner of Hedonic background and white garment background and then Orthodox Church background. So when they come, they bring that what? All manner of things. And then the church has had people who are basically ignorant grow up, become pastors, become bishops. Just as I was getting ready to come, I was drinking the vegetable. You know the vegetable? The final hour is about to choke you. I heard Billy Graham say something. He said, I was preaching somewhere in London when I met an altar call, an Anglican bishop came. He said, I was asking him why. Later, I said, Bishop, why did you come? He said, I've been to theological colleges and everything. He said, I have never really been sure that I knew Jesus. Really, I didn't know him. And I needed to know him so that if I leave this earth, I'm going to heaven. This is a bishop who has led congregations, pastored congregations. What do you think those congregations will be like? So you can see what is happening. A lot of people come into the Pentecostal movement. There are a lot of teachings in the Pentecostal churches that are not from the Bible. Simply because they have been going past on. Nobody checks it. People are lazy. Nobody checks it. They just take it on. It passes from people to people. Then the other people start their own church. They want to be like this church. They want to pull people from this church. If they are doing night vigil, they start night vigil. If they are doing deliverance, it's deliverance. Because they think that's what draws the people. The attention is not Christ. The attention is people. What draws the people? And because people have problems, they go. Promise them everything. Come. But instead of getting better, they worse. One thing I know is that ignorance will never help. I don't care what you are doing. God himself says so. He said, my people perish for what? Yeah. So because of that, prayer has not been very effective in the body of Christ. Hasn't been effective. Because we've seen that we made prayer, some have made prayer labor. Well, not really labor. They made prayer religious something that you have to suffer. That many are dreading prayer. Am I wrong? When it's time to pray, some people are dreading it because it's, you know what I mean? And there hasn't been results, so there's frustration. I remember one man saying, he said, this time I want, he said, I have a prayer, time of prayer with God. And when that time is coming, he said, and what I said to the Lord, you know, I don't know why when this time is coming, he said, I'm dreading it. God said, I start dreading it before you. Because what you come to do is not prayer. I'm so sorry for you. What you do is not prayer. Believe you me, what a lot of people do is not prayer. I was teaching here with two witnesses. Prayer is mere conversation. If it goes outside of that, no. A simple conversation with God that doesn't need all this. My brother, you have children. When they want to ask you things, is it not conversation? Why? That's daddy. And God is our Father. Conversation. It's not talk, and you get up. Tomorrow is talk, you get up. The other day, talk, you get up. How do you talk with somebody who's not talking to you? That foolishness. Prayer is simple conversation. In a celebration of relationship, in a love atmosphere. Daddy, this is paining me, and your word said this and this, this and this. And I've not seen it. It should work because your word is true. What's happening here? Simple conversation. Praise the Lord. And God will tell you. That's how I learned. Tell you, that's how I learned. Somebody called me and said, Pastor, I want to ask you a question. I said, what's the question? He said, somebody has an issue. He came into this country with wrong something, wrong name, wrong this, wrong that. Now he's a Christian. If he goes to tell them, they might jail him, throw him out, do this. He said, and he's bothered, his conscience is bothering him. And then he said, maybe the devil is bothering him. The Bible says there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So he asked me, don't laugh, because it's a serious question. So he asked me, he said, Pastor, is it the devil really? Because there's no condemnation. Or what? I said, and he said, should he go and tell them so that... I told him, I said, you know, problem is that that person doesn't know how to walk in this way. I said, people, religious people will tell you, go and tell them, you're supposed to tell them immediately. Go and tell them, you're going to hell. I said, those are a bunch of religious people. I said, you know what that person should do? Go to God and tell God, Lord, I did this wrong. I want to tell them, but I'm afraid. Please help me. How do I do this? Because I'm really afraid. Look at the consequences. They are staring me in the face and they are real. Lord, I need your... I said, be real and sincere. I said, do you know God can tell you, don't go yet? The manager there will sack you. There's another one coming. I said, yes. God can tell you, don't go yet. Don't go yet. There is this manager there is with you. Don't go yet. Because there'll be an opportunity and when God can say, you can go now. I said, you know what? I said, because God said to Joseph, take my son and run to Egypt. This man will what? Kill him. I said, yes, God can tell you. There's a Pharaoh here that will kill you. Don't go yet. And God can say, wait. When I tell you, you go. Am I right? Yes. I said, when you hear from God, then you are going to act in faith. I said, if you don't act in faith, it won't work. You can go there out of religion, they'll fire you. I said, but when God speaks to you and says, okay, now go. When you go in faith. Because faith cometh here. I said, you will see that nothing will happen. Because whatever is not of faith is what? Is sin, even if it's legitimate. I say, tell the person to learn to walk in this way to have a problem with others. Religious people will say, bro, if you die in this, you are going to hell. Go. Because it's not them. They have worse things they have not told anybody. They're looking for a log in here. I don't want to talk about it. And so Jesus said, so that your fruit shall remain. John 15:16. Why am I in this verse, Lord? Okay. You have not chosen me, but am I communicating so? Okay, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may now give it to you. You see, he said to the church, my name has authority with my Father. It gives you right to my Father. He said, look, so that you bring fruit of prayer, ask him with my name. Use my name. John 16:23. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. So Jesus said, don't pray to me. I tell you the truth now. You ask the Father directly, I will grant you your request because you use my name. That's John 16:23, right? Can we read it together? Let's go. You won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you now the truth. You will ask the Father how? Directly, and he will grant you a request for one reason. One reason. Because you shouted. No. It's because the authority that opens heaven is in my name. Because God says, say that name, I will honor it. He said, if you use it, God will honor it. Peter said, it is that name that made this man to walk, not us. Because that's the name that Jesus said, if you use it with my Father, we'll give you whatever I want. Praise the Lord. I didn't hear you well. And John 14:6, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So there is no other link to God except through who? Jesus Christ. Now, is there another link we try to? Is there another link we try to go? Do we build other links? Can you remember of other things we think that will make me connect with God? Your goodness. What all those praying to the saints, repeating Hail Mary four times, and then repeating some things, you know. That's what Jesus said, the heathens think that God will hear them because they repeat their prayers. But Jesus said, it is because you asked in what? My name. It's my name. It's not any other reason. There's no other reason God will give you this. It's my name. Now, if a Christian believes that and you pray in his name, shouldn't you be comfortable and it's okay? That's it. I expect to see the sun storm. And Paul says to Galatians 3 from verse 1. Galatians 3 from verse 1. Paul says to them, O foolish Galatians. Wow. This is New Living Translation. Who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Just this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you had about Christ. What message are you hearing about Christ tonight? That because of his name, God will give you what you want. So Paul is asking them, he said, just explain it to me. Did you receive the Holy Spirit because you were doing this and doing that, because you were good, you qualified? But you know, we Christians know that when you minister baptism of the Holy Spirit, what you first ask them is, are you born? So once they are born again, what do? You say that you can receive the Holy Spirit. Let me ask us a question. Did you receive salvation because you were good? Right? Did you receive eternal life because you were good? That's what Paul is asking them. Is it not in chapter 19 of Acts that Paul saw a group of Christians and asked them, he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Which means since once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have access to this thing. You have access to this thing. So Paul, he said, answer me. He said, Paul is writing to the Christ. He said, you're so foolish. So you're so foolish, these people. Say you receive the Holy Spirit just because of Jesus. Now you think you can receive things from God because of other things. He said, how can you be this foolish? Now he continued in verse 3. Galatians 3:3. How foolish can you be? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, after starting your Christian life, believing the Word of God, walking by the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? 5. I ask you again. So he said, let me ask you again. Does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ again. You tell them, it's what you heard about Christ. That if you believe it, that's why God will give you Miracles. Because Peter said, it's not our holiness, it's not our goodness, it's not our power. He said, God honored his son. He said, it's the name of Jesus that made this man to what? To what? So what? That's what Paul is saying. Is it not the name of Jesus that makes miracles happen? Why are you trying to produce some other thing, thinking that's what will make it happen? He said, you're foolish. Because what they are doing will not work. And in fact, he really went down and said something that in verse 10, but those who depend on the Lord to make them right with God are under his curse. Have you read that verse before? That's a fact. If it's not a fact, why did the Holy Spirit put it? Verse 10. But those who depend on the Lord to make them right with God are what? Under his curse. For the scripture says, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in the books of this. So if you don't obey everything, he says you won't get the blessing. You still remain under the curse. But I don't want to be under the curse. So I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and on his grace. Praise the Lord. You see why people are frustrated? Because they operate under their custom. Operate under it. Because they want to be. They don't believe that the name of Jesus is what gives us access to God. So they want to produce something else. And Paul said that way is the way to custom. The way to the blessing is faith in Christ only. Amen. Let me give you 6 reasons why the name of Jesus. You should trust in the name of Jesus when you are dealing with God. 6 reasons. Number 1 is that we are accepted or justified by faith in Christ only. Romans 3:20, New Living Translation, if you want to. Or New King James Version. New King James Version, please. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his what? What does it mean to be justified? Acceptable and qualified to receive. He said, justify this thing you want to do. Why should I give it to you? You are justified to. The only reason that God will justify, that you are justified before God, is because you have faith in Christ. Let's finish now. Can you go back there, please? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin, 20:21. But now, everybody say now. But now, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. To all. And upon who? All who believe. For there is no different. The reason is verse 23. That's the reason. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So now, he said, nobody can come to God and say, you know what, God, I qualify. No, you don't qualify because all have sinned. Everybody. So the name of Jesus is the only link. Amen. Now, because of his blood, Hebrews 10:19, we're going to read a lot of scriptures. Hebrews 10:19, New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place. Why? I didn't hear you. Why? Church, why? I didn't hear you. Why? Up until now, we haven't found any reason from us, from me or you, why we should go. Because all our righteousness is with the right. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I was telling somebody, I said, you know what Paul said? He said, Christians, and this is true. He said, Christians are yearning. He said, the whole creation is yearning for perfection. That's true. You know, that's why we want to be holy, want to be. He said, we are yearning for perfection. He said, but, listen to his breath. He said, but this body we carry is corruptible and cannot inherit what? Corruption. He says, until the time when God takes away this body and gives us the perfect body. He said, until that time, all we can do is be yearning. That's what he said. He said, they're all, yeah, and it's true. Every Christian is wanting to be perfect before God. He said, we're here, and he said, all Christian is there. We're all groaning, groaning for perfection. But he says, we have this thing that is corruptible. Amen? Every one of us has this thing that is what? Corruptible. And our knowledge is limited. So he says, but when Christ comes, he will not give us the body. That's what Pastor Victor was teaching us. That when Christ comes, he will not give us the body that is in. Then we will have the final salvation. Praise the Lord. So then we'll be free from the trouble, from all. But not before then. And so because of that, brethren, the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse us. Amen. So we said because of the blood of Jesus, now because of his high priestly office right now for us. Because of his high priestly office right now for us. Hebrews 4:14. So then, Hebrews 4:14, New Living Translation. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. What do we believe? This high priest is of ours, understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. 16. So let us come, how? Boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and will find his grace. Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 7:25, New Living Translation. Let's read it together. Therefore, he's able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. I like message on this one. Can you give me message there? It's beautiful in message. It says, to save everyone who comes to God through him, always on the job to speak up for them. That's amazing. You see, brethren, the ministry of Jesus right now is very important. I said it, that if he died and didn't rise, we'll still be in our sin. Because the sacrifice has not been presented to God. And it's not complete until it is presented at the altar of God. And so the Bible says that every high priest has offering and gift to present. And so this our high priest also of necessity must present offering. So when Jesus got to heaven, he took his blood and himself as the Lamb of God and presented before the throne of God. And when God approved of it, he said to Jesus, you sit at my right hand now, you are done. I will not make your enemies your footstool. Praise the Lord. You see that presentation that Jesus did. Church, listen. Please, listen. Don't write, just listen to me. You see, that presentation of sacrifice is eternally effective. Let me just demonstrate that Jesus has presented his blood just to show. And God approved of the sacrifice, which means this sacrifice works. Am I right? It is like Jesus is continuously presenting it, non-stop. But it's not that he's presenting it non-stop. It's that one he presented once is continuously effective and speaks for you and for me. Because he went there on our behalf. He had me in mind. He had me in mind. He was standing there with blood with me in mind. I'm doing this for Chinedu, God, the blood for him. And God says, sure, I accept that. I said, God sees me through that blood. So that blood speaks. The Bible says it speaks better things than the blood of what? So because the blood speaks for me, when I come before the presence of God, guess what? God sees me through the blood. He remembers the sacrifice. And the blood is speaking for me, pleading on my behalf. And so the Bible says we should come boldly, because there we will see grace and see mercy that is waiting for you. Amen? How many of us believe that? Why don't we go boldly and take it? Why do we go there? And when we go to pray, it's like we're not sure. No, you should be sure. You should be confident that the blood is speaking for you. Oh, somebody say amen. A sister was sharing with me how they got something for their child. And then they were really saying whether the child will like it. And then finally the child was excited about it. And then the parents were happy. Have you ever given your wife something and you're watching whether she will like it? Ah, Mother's Day is coming. Mother's Day. Ah, you have to. Mother's Day, you have to. Ah. If you haven't gotten ready now, it's too late. Immediately after this Bible studies, you leave your house and go and start searching where you get something. By now, you should have got something ready. And then when you give it to her, you watch whether she... I bought one they didn't like before. The cloth, they say it was too short. And it was short. Because I didn't check the size, it was short. So I had to go and return it. One was too tight. I had to go and return it. For me. But the point is that they loved it because I gave it. But because it was not wearable, I had to go and I bought it from a distance. I had to drive back to the place. But by the time I got there, that style had gone. So I recovered my money and had joy. Because the thing was now finished. So I got home, I said, you know what? It's no more there. Don't tell her what I said this night. But what am I trying to illustrate here? Now, my wife was happy that I got it. And I was happy. Because that made my day. It really made my day. And so this person said to me, said, and God spoke to me. God spoke to him, said, your child, you're happy, your child is happy. Because he likes what you gave. Do you know how happy I am when you receive what I gave? And do you know how unhappy he is when we don't accept what he gives? Do you know how unhappy God is when you come to his presence fidgeting, acting like he's an enemy? Do you know how unhappy when he went through all this pain on the cross for you? And then you come there, he said, come boldly, you won't come. Tell me what you want, I'll help you. No. You're afraid. Then you want to do more things. Praise the Lord. Number four. He is the only go-between, so to say, between God and man. 1 Timothy 2:5. He is the only go-between. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is only one God and only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Only one mediator. There's no other. A mediator is somebody that is between. Let me tell you people something. Do you want to hear me? You don't do intercession for a Christian. You don't do intercession for a Christian. He is not in enmity with God. If you're interceding for him, who is interceding for you? Jesus is our intercession. If you do intercession for those who are outside the church, who are unbelievers, who are enemies of God, but you don't intercede for sons of God, because they are not enemies of God. If I don't have case with him, you go to yourself, if I want to intercede between you and pastor, you say, what is the case? So if I'm interceding between me and God, I'll ask you, what's the case? But if you're interceding for unbelievers, then there's a case. Because they are enemies of God. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? You do supplication for Christians. You go pray for your brother, supplicating before God for your brother or sister, but you are not interceding for him. Well, we use the word intercession loosely, which means I'm praying on his behalf. But the word, appropriate word, is supplication. So that's why Paul said, through prayer, supplications, thanksgiving. Intercession, prayers, supplications. Supplication is what you do for Christians. I can pray for you on your behalf, but I'm supplicating, but because I'm not interceding for you. But if it's an unbeliever who doesn't know God, then I stand in what? Because judgment of God is on his head. I continue to pray until he comes into peace, restored to peace with God. Then he's no more an enemy of God. So what I do for him from that point is supplication and thanksgiving. That's by the way. So Jesus is our only go-between. So there's no other go-between. Number five, his presence in us assures us that we can have access to God anytime. His presence in us, the presence of the Spirit of God in us, is another assurance that we can have access to God at any time. Romans 8, 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. That person doesn't have right to God. 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit. You received the Spirit of what? Adoption, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Which means God becomes our Father because we have received the Spirit of Christ in us. The Spirit himself now bears witness with our spirit that we are now children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Praise the Lord. So he's telling them, you know, the early church suffered a lot of persecution. So he's telling them, if you don't give up your faith, you endure this persecution coming, then you can be glorified when Christ comes. So because we have the Spirit of Christ in us, we can say, Abba, Father. And that makes us joint heirs with Christ, makes us heirs of God. And if you are a joint heir with somebody, do you have access to that? So that gives you access because you have the Spirit of God in you. Galatians 3:24. I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church, 25. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you, 26. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people, 27. For God wants them to know. What does God want them to know? For God wants them to know the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. It's what qualifies you for the riches and glory of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of what? That's what he's saying. That the riches of God, the blessings of God, the power, the authority, the glory of God is for you Gentiles because Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing the glory. So we tell others about Christ because he is the hope of glory. Amen? So number six now. I gave you five already. Right? What's the first one? Number two? Number three? Number four? Number five? Good. Then number six now. It's a covenant issue. It's a covenant issue. You are coming to God through Christ. It's a covenant thing. It is not a contract. It is an everlasting covenant between you and God. It's part of the covenant you have with God. Hebrews 9:20 says, then he says, this blood confirms the covenant God has made with you. So what is that? Acts 3:25. This blood, Acts 3:25. You are the sons, descendants of the prophets, and heirs of the covenant which God has made with your father, saying to Abraham, in your seed, descendant, all the families of the earth shall be what? So God is saying, in Christ, my blessing is available to everybody. It's a covenant. In Christ, in your seed, in your seed, in Christ, through Jesus, my blessing will be available to everyone. It's a covenant. If you understand it, then when you come to God through Christ, then God is obligated to respond to you. Because it's a covenant. Because he said, in Christ shall all the what? Families of the earth be blessed through him. So it's a covenant. Now, I want to tell you something. Have you ever read, how many of you have read about Jacob in the wilderness on his way to his father-in-law? Do you know that that illustrates distance and teaching? It's a serious illustration of this. Because when the Bible uses, the Bible talks of Jesus, the rock that followed Israel and produced the water. It's saying us that it's in Christ that the knowledge, the life is coming. That the world is in a desert, wilderness, where there's no water. It's only through Christ that living water will come. And when Jesus came, he said, he that thirst, let him what? Drink. I'm here. So you can't survive outside of Jesus. He's the source of life. That's what that thing is saying. Now, Jacob is showing us that except you put your head on the rock and trust him, your connection to God will be disconnected. It was when he put his head on the rock that he saw that when you rest in Christ, you have a ladder and angels will be going upon you. You have access to God. That's what he said. When you put your head on the rock, and that rock is Jesus, and the head is signifying rest. Let me ask you, have you ever seen anybody using rock to make pillow? It doesn't happen. It was the spiritual thing that God made it soft for him. So he was able to put his head on a rock. How do you put your head on a rock? But he did that. It was an act of God. So when he slept, God was showing the things that will come in future. That any man that can rest, enter his rest, put his faith in Christ, put his head on the rock, trust Jesus Christ, we have connection to heaven. And angels will come, take things, bring things from heaven, take your prayer up. That's what is going to happen. Because you have put your head where? On the rock. Can we read it? Can I take 2 more minutes? If you are tired, I'll stop after I know it. Can I read it? Genesis 28:10. And Jacob went, I'm reading the King James Version. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went forward towards Haran. 11. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land of whereon you lie, to thee I will give it. And to thy seed, 14. And thy seed shall be as dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, Christ, shall all the families of earth be blessed. 15. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again to this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awoke out of his sleep and said, whoa, surely the Lord is what? It's in this place. And what is the name of Jesus? Emmanuel. And God is. The people don't know. He says, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate to Jesus. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone. It wasn't the stone. He took the stone that he had put his pillows, he has put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar and poured oil, the Holy Spirit, upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place what? God is here. But the name of that place, city, was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way, that I go, and will give me bread to eat and remnant to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. 22. And this stone, which I've set up for a pillar, shall be God's house. And all of that, and all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give you what? Who told him about tithe? He learned it from his father, Abraham. You see, tithe started before Moses came. Abraham tithed, and we saw Jacob saying, I'm going to what? Tithe. Do you know he did it? He paid his tithe in that place. Not even where he came, right there. Every time he would get something, he would dedicate one third to the Lord. You read it. He started right there. He dedicated it to the Lord. He would use it for sacrifice. Because there was no church for him to pay the tithe. So he would use it, he would divide it and use one tenth for sacrifice unto the Lord. So you see that this is a shadow telling us what is coming. That Christ is the rock. He's Emmanuel, God with us. That if you put your head on him, those that trust in him, when you put trust in him, you will see your ladder to God. Angels what? And remember that this Jacob was a fugitive who was running away. But God says, because of the covenant I have, I'm with you. Praise the Lord. Now, if it is one of us, we will say, God will bless him. Say, you deceived your brother, my friend. Go and make restitution. God said, I'm with you. It's an act of grace and mercy. You don't deserve it, Jacob. But because of the covenant I have, I will keep my word. Somebody shout hallelujah. God has covenant with Jesus, and he will keep his word. But it is that word of God, that keeping his word, that will reveal the reality of God to you, and your life will begin to change. The goodness of God will lead you to what? Did you see that Jacob, did you see how his language came? Started to, he said, wow, God is here. Because I've forgotten God. He's here. And God said, I'm still here. And then he said, God, if I come back, if you do this, I will do this. And if you watch his life in that place, you will know that that experience followed him out. So anytime we get something, we'll divide it and use one thing. Say, let me make a sacrifice to this God. Follow him out. His life changed from that point. When you have an encounter with Jesus, your life will change. Praise the Lord. So we have six reasons we have to believe and trust in the name of Jesus. The next time you say in Jesus' name in prayer, be confident. Because that name links you to God. There's a ladder right there. The angels are going, coming. And guess what? They're bringing stuff for you. And taking your prayer also up. Praise the Lord. Shall we rise up?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.